In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Hello. Welcome to The Big Story. I'm your host, Jordan Heath Rawlings. I've been a print journalist for about 15 years, first as a Cub reporter, then as a city editor, and eventually as an editorial planning director for some magazines. The only thing you really need to know about that is that I've got a pretty good contact list that we're going to make use of here. This is a podcast about putting a magnifying glass on the biggest headlines of the day or the week. We'll be in your podcast player first thing in the morning. So let's get started with something that would have seemed unbelievable a few years ago.
It's stimulating, mind expanding, safer to use than alcohol. It's the in thing, the hula hoop of the jet generation, and as much a part of growing up as smoking corn silk behind the back fence. Such are the myths concerning marijuana. Myths that lull thousands of young people into experimenting with a noxious weed. The facts are otherwise.
Pot legalization will be a reality.
Canada has become the second country to legalize recreational marijuana nationwide.
Cannabis prohibition will soon end thanks to a final vote in the Senate of 52-29 with 2 abstentions.
They legalized it. Except not quite yet. Not in time for Canada Day or your cottage getaway. But timeline and complications be damned, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and company are going to make sure you know that they kept this campaign promise at least.
The new recreational cannabis regime will officially come into force on October 17th of this year.
But there's a lot more that's got to happen before Canadians can actually buy the stuff. It's Monday, June 25th, and that's a long way from October 17th. Welcome to the summer of figuring out pot.
It's a big change to switch from something being illicit to it being legal when it's this big. On the other hand, almost every corner of Canadian society has one way or another made peace with pot well before now.
John Geddes is McLean's Ottawa bureau chief, and he's been on the pot file since the beginning. John, what did you think when you first heard Trudeau's campaign promise to legalize pot?
Do you know what? For me, it was well before the campaign, Jordan. It was back when he was very early on in his Liberal leadership that it first caught our ears and everyone's. He was out in Vancouver on a swing through. He hadn't made any serious policy pronouncements, and he declared,
I'm actually not in favor of decriminalizing cannabis. I'm in favor of legalizing it, tax and regulate.
It was from the outset, it was a bit of a surprise to us, and the first story I ever wrote about that was about the Tories reacting, and Peter McKay was the Conservative Justice Minister at the time, and they thought they had a winner. They thought that Trudeau was going to be very vulnerable in this. They thought it played to his weakness, which they thought was that he seemed flighty and unserious, and that this would be a way to hammer home that message. It just never worked out that way.
So when this was proposed, during the leadership rise, you've watched a lot of people promise a lot of things. What did you think in terms of the chances it had of actually, I mean, first of all, Trudeau has to win the leadership, then he has to win an election, mm-hmm. then he has to actually implement this policy. Give me a ballpark, like what was going through your mind then about the chances of this happening in Canada?
I believed it would happen, but I didn't believe it, but largely, Jordan, not because I'm a crystal ball, but because I had seen the way it had rolled out in the U.S. and the states that had done it, notably Colorado and Washington, were really the template and offered a certain amount of comfort to Canadian policymakers that it could be done. And then the other reason that I thought it would happen is because, as I say, from early on, I kept watching for some kind of real opposition to crystallize, and it didn't. So those are two things. However, here's where I would have got it wrong. I believed all along through this piece that at some point there would be a very significant slowdown in the track. I thought the premiers have often said they wanted more time to implement. Police chiefs said they wanted more time. And I thought at some point the government would put it off a year or 2 years and roll it out more slowly. And on that, I would have called it wrong. They've moved ahead not quite as briskly as people thought. It was supposed to be this summer that it became legal. It'll be the fall. But, you know, that's a brief delay.
We will never stop fighting for cannabis freedom!
We're here! We're high! Get used to it!
Support your local dispensaries. They're already set up. They've already got the plan down pat. It's been working.
There's a paradox. There's a kind of a tension in the way we talk about this whole thing. On the one hand, it's momentous. We've had almost a century of pot being prohibited in Canada, and it's been a central debate at different times. It's been a big worry and anxiety for all kinds of people. So it does feel huge, this thing. On the other hand, you know, every significant city in Canada now has freestanding, undisguised dispensaries, as we've gotten to call these little shops. It's so normalized in the minds of so many people. And as I was researching the story from McLean's, I would talk to chiefs of police, some of whom have apprehensions about serious things. And one of the notable ones is they have worries about drug-impaired driving. People driving stoned is a big worry for them. But even those cops who I talked to who were, you know, not enthusiastic, when I asked them about, well, how strictly do you enforce marijuana laws now, and how strictly do you expect you'll enforce the ones that will still be in play after October 17th? And they would say, well, you know, for example, the police chief at Medicine Hat told me, you know, we've got a big methamphetamine problem here. We've got a serious opioid problem. Cannabis is a very low priority. So I think, you know, some of when we talk about like this, this being a sea change, this being a watershed, it is and it isn't, right? It's a big change to switch from something being illicit to it being legal when it's this big. On the other hand, almost every corner of Canadian society has one way or another made peace with pot well before now. You know, police really don't want to be enforcing pot laws. They've got bigger fish to fry. You know, most of the elements of this, there'll be a lot of change in the way it's regulated, but will there be change in the place of weed in Canadian society? I'm not sure. It'll be more nuanced than dramatic, you know?
So that's an issue that Trudeau's team has faced a lot of questions on will they actually be granting amnesty to people with prior pot convictions?
The notion of there being some kind of amnesty for people who have criminal records going back for possession as opposed to dealing. The government has been increasingly made obvious that they're going to wait until after October 17th when the new law takes effect, and at that point take a hard look at some form of amnesty. The Justice Minister, Jody Wilson-Raybould, talked about that.
We've thought about it, but we are focused right now on the Cannabis Act.
Bill Blair, the former Chief of Police of Toronto, now an MP and Trudeau's point man on this file, has talked about it.
Any discussion of those records can't take place until that process is complete.
I would point out on that, Jordan, there's kind of an interesting personal element to that, that the Prime Minister's late brother, Michel, who died in that terrible avalanche a number of years ago in BC, it came out not too long ago that he had a possession charge that the Prime Minister's father, the late Pierre Elliott Trudeau, went to bat to make sure it didn't stick, so his youngest son didn't end up with a criminal record. So I would think that Prime Minister Trudeau, the current Prime Minister Trudeau, would have a kind of personal feel for the idea that it's not fair, and it's kind of, I think it's self-evidently unjust that people go around with criminal records for that. I think that's one element of this that really does have to be dealt with, and I'm pretty sure that in the fall, after the legalization and regulation comes into effect, they'll move on some form of amnesty.
The Liberal Party is committed to legalizing and regulating marijuana, controlling it in a way that is going to protect our kids and remove criminal elements from it. And we're going to get started on that right away.
This is something Trudeau really needed.
He did really need it. He needed it mostly because if you think about the pillars of his 2015 campaign, I mean, he had an incredible number of promises in that platform, more than 200 separate promises. So it's very hard to see the forest for the trees there. But I would say that there were a handful of top-line promises, and they included some kind of new policy on climate change that will probably include a price on carbon. That looked like it was coming into play as recently as last year. That looked like it was a lock. Now, not very much. They've had to back away from promises like electoral reform. They are having a very hard time making good on defense promises, including the black line commitment, which was we won't buy the F-35 fighter jet. Well, the F-35 fighter jet is still very much in the mix as a potential sort of next big procurement for the Canadian military. So you can just keep going down the list, and there's file after file after file on which they're having trouble. And of course, very prominent among all those is the economic file, particularly everything to do with the Canada-US trade relationship. And so to have one clear win, and it looks like legalizing and regulating marijuana will be a clear win, at least as far as their part of the file goes. Provinces still have a lot of problems to deal with.
Isn't the federal bill getting moved forward and then the provinces balking kind of exactly what held up the carbon tax? Can that happen with pot?
They can't really balk because criminal law is 100% federal jurisdiction, right? So there's not much they can do in terms of balking. Now, but where the provinces are in trouble is that they need to quickly roll out a convincing retail system for pot, and every province is taking a different tack on that. So it varies wildly from province to province, so how they're doing it, from fairly wide open or at least fairly sort of market-oriented approaches in Newfoundland and Manitoba, through to a very government-controlled approach in Quebec. And that's what it looked like we were going to have in Ontario until the recent election, and now we're not sure how Doug Ford is going to deal with it.
And yeah, is that what this summer is going to be about then, kind of fighting on that battlefield, who's going to sell it, where they're going to sell it, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what's happening. Every province is starting to roll out its system. The private sector players are trying to get their piece of that pie. Cities and towns, municipal governments are looking at where exactly are these stores going to go. And it's hard to talk about this stuff in a coherent way because, as I say, the rule book differs wildly from province to province. But there are all kinds of little local struggles now. But well, where will the weed store go in our town or in our neighborhood in a city? And every place that that's happening, you're seeing it shake down just a little bit differently from place to place. And you're right. I think over between now and October, that'll be a lot of the story.
So now I want to ask you about kind of the image of us becoming a country where recreational pot is legal, because we kind of talked about how this is a political thing right now. For the most part, you know, people who wanted to smoke were already smoking. But you also mentioned kind of Trudeau versus Trump on trade. And there's no question that being a country that has legal recreational pot says something about Canada. And how does that affect our relationship with the rest of the world, especially the U.S.?
Well, just thinking about the Trump administration, Jeff Sessions, Trump's attorney general, is a very ardent anti-drug crusader. Southern conservative who just is hardline about this.
This drug is dangerous. You cannot play with it. It's not funny. It's not something to laugh about. And trying to send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Voices like that in the administration, I think, are going to say, let's make it tough at the border for Canadians who want to cross. There's this whole sticky question, which I don't believe the government in Ottawa has answered convincingly, which is, what do you do when you're asked at the border? The justice minister says, well, you tell the truth. She can hardly say anything other than that. You can't have the justice minister advising people to lie. But we want to see what they do when you tell the truth, right? I mean, what exactly are American officials going to do when Canadians say that? Are they going to just slow them down? Are they going to shrug it off? Or are they going to tell them they can't enter? You know, it's going to be really interesting to see.
Trudeau has said that this isn't about the money. It's about, you know, making it regulated, making it safe, making sure that only adults can get it. And, you know, my question is obviously there's a financial angle, but what happens then the first time an image of a cannabis store employee selling pot to a 16-year-old goes viral?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. Something like that's going to happen. I think the least convincing part of the messaging on this from Trudeau and company has been around youth pot smoking. So they point to basically two or three big elements behind the thing. One is try to take profits out of the hands of organized crime by setting up legal marijuana operations and getting and squeezing out the illegal ones. I think that's a valid aim, and they'll never entirely get rid of the black market for drugs, but they can probably do some damage to it. So that makes sense. Avoid a situation where law enforcement is wasting resources on something that most people shrug off. I think that's a valid thing. But the third part, often stressed by the Prime Minister, is that
right now the current system we have means that there's already marijuana in our high schools. It's already easy for kids to buy marijuana. In many cases, it's easier to buy marijuana as a young person than it is to buy beer.
A lot of people nod and think, oh, that's probably true. But in fact, every 2 years, there's a massive survey done in Canada of young people's use of tobacco, alcohol, and drugs. And year after year, when they do that survey, including one that came out very recently, by a very wide margin, more kids from grade 7 to grade 12 say that they find it easy to get alcohol than say it's easy to get weed. They are much more prone to using alcohol. It's much more widely used and more widely abused. And they just declare every time the survey is done, if they're asked, do you find it easy to get marijuana? And about 40% say, I think it's around 40% say, yeah, it's easy to get. And you ask, is it easy to get alcohol? And about 70% say it's easy to get alcohol. So the continuous assertions that once we're regulating weed more like we would now regulate alcohol with age limits and restrictions on who's supposed to be able to buy and that sort of thing, that that'll make it harder to get and therefore youth use of marijuana will go down, I don't understand how that holds up.
Do you remember how you and your friends scored pot when you were a teenager?
I never scored pot. I've never bought any in my life.
Oh, come
but,
on.
Absolutely true.
Was it hard to get, though? Did you know people who got it?
It was easy. There was a guy who worked at a gas station. I grew up in a very, very tiny town in northwestern Ontario, a gold mining town up way north of Kenora. And one of my best friends was known to smoke some pot. And I know it's shocking, but it's true. And he used to buy it from a guy who worked at a gas station, just another teenager who pumped gas. And so at night, if you need to get some, you went over. And when there wasn't a car needing to be filled up, he would go to his stash and his, I think he kept it in his like hockey bag in the gas station office. And
that's so Canadian.
Sell it to him. Yeah, that's the way it worked. And yeah, so I think everybody, you know, I don't think anybody has any trouble, any young people, any trouble getting weed, do they? I mean, it seems like it's just a ubiquitous thing.
Thanks for coming on, John.
Good to chat. Thanks.
That was the big story. The very first day of it, actually. We'll be back tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And then we'll be off for the weekend and be back on Monday. We will be doing this every weekday in your podcatcher first thing in the morning. And we would love to hear from you. So reach out to us at Big Story Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can find us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. And of course, subscribe. You can find us on Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we need you to tell your friends if you like the show. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. Claire Broussard is our producer. Megan Coley is on our social media. Stephanie Phillips is our intrepid research assistant. Smoke them if you got them, people, but not until October 17th. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.